Now from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is It's Optional with Trey Wallace, Chance Collins, and Brandon Johns. What do you see?
Dobbs heaves it. They're bunched up in the end zone. It's tipped up. It's caught. It is caught. Juwan Jennings. Juwan Jennings.
Bobble, and he just dumps it off for a first down.
Throws it, fakes the spike. In the end zone, touchdown. Whoa. Jordan Lasley.
Whoa, he has trouble with the snap, and the ball is free. It's picked up by Michigan State's Jalen Watts Jackson, and he scores on the last play of the game.
It's Optional, Fox Sports Knoxville, rolling along at the 2 o'clock hour.
Ready to go.
Yeah, there's a photo out there of me right now in the Twitterverse that I had taken last year when I had a year and a half ago when I had knee surgery. I was just kind of chilling at the house, and I just took like a photo of me like looking up or something, like whatever. Now it's making the rounds. So
nice.
It's weird. Let's go to Nashville.
Do we need to put on a t-shirt?
No, we don't need to put on a t-shirt.
Give him one.
Okay, yeah, cool. Yeah, we'll give him 1 minute, get him settled in. No, we're not putting it on a t-shirt, man. It's just an awkward.
Can I see the picture? I'm looking for it. I don't see it.
No, don't worry about it.
Where's it at? I too like to join it. Ah,
they thought, whoa, I looked like him.
Whoa. Wow. That's pretty good. That's some good stuff right there.
Yeah, I don't know why they would do that. That's kind of mean and awkward.
Hey, dude, the internet is undefeated. I know anytime I put a picture out there of me personally or of anybody that I care for, it better be a damn good picture because you never know how many Photoshop edits can be added.
Skinner at UT said, I don't know about y'all, but I am bleep, bleep. After watching the Top Gun 2 trailer. Where's this trailer? What am I missing?
I told you it was out there.
It's on the YouTube.
It's on the YouTube, as
right,
the kids
are we ready
say.
To go to Jason?
I believe so. We'll all give right. it a shot.
Let's do it. Let's go to Jason Martin in Nashville, 104.5 The Zone, the Big Six. Jason, good afternoon to you, buddy. How are you?
Hey, man. What's up, Trey? How are you guys?
I don't know. I'm trying to figure out, is there a Top Gun 2 trailer it's out there? I haven't the seen one yet.
I know that should be my expertise in the pop culture realm, but I honestly don't know. I know that's a bad idea, and that film doesn't need to be made.
Well, unfortunately, they already started, so.
Oh, I know.
We're in a crap load of trouble. I know. So it is what it is. You've had a good 2 days, I think, right? Yeah?
Yeah, not too bad. I mean, the draft is here, so that's a mess. I've had to pick up separate credentials twice over the past 3 days. The NFL can make anything not fun. That's what I think we've already learned. I do think this is going to be fun tomorrow. We'll be on the red carpet hanging out. It'll be an experience, something I've never experienced before, to be sure. But yesterday, I went down to Atlanta to do a private screening of Avengers Endgame, which I think is going to break every box office record on Earth.
No
way.
It's
over 3 hours long, so the whole world is excited about this one, I think. As they should be. It's awesome.
Is it okay? All right, so it's well worth the 3 hours in the movie theater.
Yeah, they saved the best for last. I would say this is one of the three best Marvel films that I have seen, joining Captain America: The Winter Soldier and the original Guardians of the Galaxy, Spider-Man: Into the Spider-Verse, which came out last year, one of the five best films of last year. But it's not technically part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe or whatever, so I don't include it. But Those are kind of the list. This is better than the original Avengers, which was the other film that was on my list. I like a lot of these films, but this one in particular, just it rewards you if you have watched all this stuff over the past 12 years. Like, there's so much to enjoy. There's so much that they pay off on the way out the door. They do a really good job with it. And again, it's over 3 hours long, and usually I am a less is more guy.
Yeah.
But not anymore. Like, I mean, I still am, but not with this film. This film did not feel like it was as long as it actually was.
Hey, before we get to the NFL draft and all that stuff, there's stuff that you have to do when you go to these private screenings. Can you, like, tell our audience, like, a little behind the scenes of, like, you know, you got to lock up your cell phone. There's certain things you can't talk about. Can you kind of give a behind the scenes a little bit? Because I know about it, but I don't think a lot of people do.
Yeah, I mean, it depends. Like, sometimes you don't have to give up your cell phone, and sometimes there will be other guests in the room that have to give up theirs, but critics don't. Yesterday, we all had to hand our cell phones in to security They put them in bags and gave us claim tickets like we were handing them overcoats. So that you couldn't take a photo, so that you couldn't tweet on anything. And then there's something called an embargo. And the embargo is, well, I mean, it's what an embargo is. And once it lifts, then you can actually say something. So right before the film came out yesterday, or right before the lights turned down, the officials came in and said, look, 6 p.m. Eastern time, the embargo lifts, and you can say something. Until that point, I couldn't even say, I've seen this movie. I could only go on Twitter and say, hey, I've seen a movie. And I can tell you more about it in an hour. Like, you can't even name the film. So, yeah, there's a lot of craziness behind it. And a lot of times, films that have embargoes that are close to the release date, or ones that you don't see reviews for until the day of,
right,
that is because the people involved know that film stinks. And they don't want the rest of the world to know it so that they can still get advanced ticket sales. So you should always be wary of embargoes that, like, don't lift until the release day. And that's not just for films. Like, that goes for films. That also goes for video games, which is not really my expertise anymore, but certainly was back in the day. There are some video games they won't even let you write about until they release. And those are ones to automatically say, okay, well, I'm not dropping $60 on this until I figure out exactly what is going on. That's for the members of the audience that have children or are still buying games themselves. You can really spend a ton of money on bad stuff, because these guys that are putting this garbage out know it's garbage and still want your money.
That is fantastic insight. Thank you.
You're welcome.
There's a lot of things I didn't know. I didn't know about the whole, you know, embargo at the last minute where they can't say anything bad about it. So,
well, but it makes sense, though, right?
Yeah, it does. No, it does make sense. It does make sense. So that's
like, if you had something really good, go tell. Let's say if I've got some great property, some great TV show, some great whatever. Like, I've, you know, BoJack Horseman or something. They'll give it to me a month early for Netflix.
Right.
I know that's going to be quality. Like, if I've got something that's really good, Trey, I want you to see it now. Like, it's coming out in 6 months, but I've got it now because I want your word of mouth. But if that thing is trash, you know what? Maybe I'm not going to run this except in the top five markets in the country, and I'm not going to run that until the day before, maybe, but let's not write about it until 11 a.m. on release day. Like, that's just a huge red flag.
Oh, gosh. Speaking of trash, Jason Martin.
The Preds.
The power plays, man. I watched San Jose last night, and all of a sudden they're just scoring on every power play they can. And, you know, I go back, and the Preds, you know, just absolutely horrid when it comes to power plays, man. What's the feeling in Nashville right now? How big of a letdown is this for the city and the fans of the Predators?
Well, I mean, it stinks because you're used to playing late into May and early into June.
Exactly.
And this team is done. And I think the big problem is, and I don't know how many of the games you were able to watch.
A good amount of them, brother. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, the effort that you saw in Game 6, they played their guts out in Game 6. Where the hell was that in the games before?
Agreed.
That's where my problem lies, because you shouldn't have to get into a must-win situation to care in the playoffs. And it felt like to me that the Nashville Predators believed their own hype. A lot of them got big contracts. Ryan Ellis' deal is a disaster. He's got an 8-year deal that doesn't start until next year that's paying him $6 million per. Kyle Turris has a $6 million deal. PK Subban's getting $9 million a year. There are some terrible, terrible deals on this situation, but you mentioned the power play. I mean, they were 0 for 15, Dre.
Yeah.
0 for 15. If they score even 20% of the time, they win the series, probably in 6 games. But they can't get one goal. And Ben Bishop, a Vezina Trophy finalist, their goalie for Dallas, he's very good. But he didn't even have to be all that good in this series, because he wasn't even challenged by the top line, much less the kind of refuse that was beneath it. But I think that what you saw from Dallas this year, Dallas was this year's Nashville Predators from 3 years ago, 2 years ago, the team that beat the Blackhawks. The Predators thought they were just to roll in, and because they're the Nashville Predators, all of a sudden they're ordained to win these games, because that's what the Nashville Predators do. Apparently it's not. Victor Arvidsson disappeared. Johansson had 50 assists during the regular season, but only 14 goals. He's on your first line. He's got to give you more than that. There was Forsberg's turning the puck over left and right. This was a team that seemed like they just thought they should win, but they didn't actually go out and win. It's like they looked at themselves on paper and said, well, we're much better than the Dallas Stars. And then they got their rear ends beat, because the Dallas Stars actually showed up on the ice and played. It doesn't matter how good you think you are if you don't go out there and actually back it up. And I don't think the Preds did it. And I do think that this team has moved in the wrong direction. They went from the Stanley Cup Finals to out in the semis last year to out in the first round this year. That's not a great trajectory. It's not a great – and the GM's moves have not worked out. What he did at midseason didn't work out. They let Phil Housley go. They need to bring him back. He was the power play coach a couple of years ago. Yep. Somebody's heads need to roll over the power play. I don't know exactly whose fault it is. I don't know if it's that easy to figure out, but they've got to get that fixed. That is a complete and utter failing Hindenburg-level disaster for an otherwise pretty good hockey team.
Looking at it, Jason, is there – and last question on the Preds, brother. Is there something they're going to do in the offseason here? And there was a lot of people on Twitter, and look, you can't take a lot of these folks on Twitter seriously. There's one host in Nashville – you know, I'm not even going to say his name, who just spits out utter garbage every time he decides to type on
Twitter. I feel like I know who that is.
Yeah, oh, you definitely know who that is. And my question to you, honestly, is you saw how good Pekka was at times.
Oh, yeah.
During the playoffs, and you can't even put, you know, a lot of these goals on him. The defense was just stagnant.
Amen.
Do you see him finishing up his career in Nashville?
I certainly hope so. I mean, if you were just to say who is the Nashville Predators, like if you had to name one guy, wouldn't it be Pecorine?
Absolutely.
I mean, historically in the franchise, as classy as they come, even after the loss, he did his best not to throw his team under the bus. He was trying to dance around things and just talk about how great Dallas was. He knew he got no help in front of him. All those goals that he gave up and people were, pull Pekka.
Right.
I mean, I thought you should have pulled Pekka because he wasn't getting any help in front of him and at least get him some rest and get him out of there in that five-goal game, the first five-goal game of the series. But Pecorine stood on his head. Trey, he had 49 saves in Game 6 and they lost.
Shoo.
How do you do that?
God.
How is that even possible?
Reminds me of Tim Howard in the World Cup.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he could not have done more for you in that game, and you could not score. Like, you could not give him anything. And then the defense, you got Subban making a bad decision. You got Ryan Ellis getting caught in the corner and not skating fast. You got Josi getting caught in the corner. These are professional hockey players that we've seen make good plays in the past, for the most part. And Pecorine was the only one you could really look at outside of Rocco Grimaldi, all 5'6" of him, who was playing his guts out in this series, and just a couple of other scattered performances. But yeah, I think Pekka probably gets his chance to end his career here just because he's old enough that at the end of this career, he may just be ready to hang it up. But the problem is you've wasted some really good Pekka years where you could have won a cup with him, and you don't have that many of them left. He just doesn't have that much left in the tank. He's given you all he has, and you have not been able to get to the promised land.
Agreed. It's kind of weird. Switching over real quick, going to the draft. How's excited the city of Nashville? Everything's coming together. I see the red carpet down there, the NFL experience. Yep. They've added – it caught me by surprise. I had to take a double look on the image of Tootsies. Like, they added, like, a second, like, outdoor extension of Tootsies. I thought I was losing my mind trying to figure out where the hell that was at. But how excited is the city of Nashville, man? How do you think things go over the next couple of days? Because I look forward to seeing it on television. I really do.
Well, it's going to be fun. Tootsies is now basically in control of the NFL Network. The NFL Network has built a set inside of Tootsies and basically has taken it over. Broadway as a whole looks nothing like Broadway. NFL is in control of all those places. A lot of people think they're just going to roll in all these bars.
Oh, no.
Like, you know what Nashville is.
Oh, yeah.
Like on St. Patrick's Day.
Right.
That's not what this is going to be like.
It's all corporately run right now.
yeah, exactly. But in terms of excitement level, I just want to see what it looks like. Like, I'm going to be down there tomorrow. I'm going to be on a red carpet. I'm going to be doing various things, hanging out at press conferences and things like that. But, like, I have a feeling that when I'm done Thursday, like when I'm done tomorrow night, I'm probably going to be about done with actually being there in person. Like, I think I'll watch the rest and put together my show for Fox Sports Radio on Sunday morning. I'm going to be on Outkick to coverage with Clay on Friday. Reacted to the first round as well. So I think we're excited. I think that we imagine what it would have been tonight had it been Game 7 at Bridgestone Arena between the Preds and the Stars, with all of the 300,000-plus expected additional people that are flooding into this city, plus a Game 7 from the Stanley Cup playoffs, and maybe still the best building to watch hockey in the country, it would have been, I mean, it would have been a mess, but it would have been a lot of fun. Instead, the NFL now owns the team, and people have moved on past the Predators for right now. I want to see how Nashville shows up. I think that the draft experience outside Nissan Stadium is going to be a lot of fun. My hope is we just don't have a lot of knuckleheads. You never know in 2019 what somebody's got in their mind, what somebody is planning. There is security everywhere, so it should be safe. I just want everybody to have a good time and celebrate sports. I mean, that's what we do. We talk about escapes and entertainment for a living. I want everybody to celebrate football, celebrate their team or boo their team when they take the wrong guy, whatever it is. I just want it to be a really positive atmosphere and a good weekend for Nashville. And, after watching what the NHL All-Star weekend was here and seeing how this city does big events, I tend to think that this thing's going to come off like gangbusters. It's been well put together by the Nashville Sports Council and the NFL. So I'm optimistic that it's going to go well.
Jason Chance here, man. I know that, as excited as I am for Middle Tennessee, I'm from that area for the draft, and I know something that's going to keep us all excited, and Trey might have to sit this one out, is Game of Thrones. Now, I know you're excited about Thrones. You've been talking about it, obviously, as the Big Six and, the pop culture guy that you are. What have you made of the first two episodes? Because I don't think we've talked to you since the premiere. I know we talked to you before the premiere. So what have you made of the first two episodes? I know it's been somewhat slow. And then, what do you think going into, we have the Behemoth Battle episode coming this weekend, and that is this, and who also directed the Battle of the Bastards and also Hard Home, Miguel Sapochnik. I can't pronounce his last name, but yeah. So a lot of expectations there. What are your thoughts?
Okay. Well, there's six episodes in the final season, and the first two have been place setters. So it's very obvious to me that David Benioff and D.B. Weiss, the showrunners, are going to backload this thing. They want the penultimate episode, the next to last, and the finale to blow everybody's mind. They want that to be the lasting impression on this series. So they are giving you very, very little off the start, which is kind of amazing to me because it's like, all right, so how much story do you really have left to tell if you have basically, well, I'm not going to call it a waste of the first hour, but it wasn't a great first hour. Not a whole lot was accomplished during the first hour. I continue to think this is how I would end the series. I'm not saying this is what will happen. This is what I would do if I were them. The last thing that this series needs in particular is a happy ending. George R. R. Martin said a long time ago, if you're expecting this show to have a happy ending or these books to have a happy ending, you haven't been paying attention. What I tend to believe will happen is someone that you like will have the Iron Throne with about 15 minutes left in the finale. And you'll think, oh, okay, well, this is how it's going to end. And then you're going to look at your watch and realize, wait a second, there's still 15 minutes left. What's going to happen? Boom. And what's going to happen is, what is this series about? If you think of The Walking Dead, when it was originally conceived, and just this is the way zombie films and zombie genre and a lot of other genres are, it's never about what you think it's about. It's about people. People are the monsters. Zombies are not the monsters. The entire point of The Walking Dead is that the people are the monsters, not the actual monsters.
Yes.
The people treat each other badly. They betray each other. They hunt each other. They lead each other to the slaughter. They steal from each other. They betray each other, all of that. So what is Game of Thrones about? It's a power struggle, ultimately. Now, it's got everything else with it, but generally speaking, it's about power. And what does power do, according to Lord Acton? Well, it corrupts absolutely. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. So anybody that gets on the Iron Throne is probably not going to stay there for very long because 800 people are plotting against them. I tend to believe that this series went from human versus human to now all the humans have to band together to stop the equivalent of the zombies in this case, being the White Walkers and the Night King. So they're going to do that, and then our utopia is going to fall apart because that's what happens. And just before it looks like the Night King and everything's going to be taken out, these humans are going to get in their own way, and as a result, they're all going to die. And the lasting scene in Game of Thrones should be Jon Snow, Tyrion Lannister, Daenerys Targaryen, all of them as White Walkers. because they could not stay banded together for a common purpose because of their selfishness. Ooh. And I think that Game of Thrones is actually going to try and make a political statement. I don't know if they're going to land the plane, but they may try to make a political statement related to Trump and related to authoritarianism globally in the way that they let the humans completely die and let the Night King and his folks reign supreme in the end. Ooh. That is what I think might happen. I think that the Night King or that the White Walkers, everyone turning to White Walkers, is the right ending. I wouldn't go with the political message, but I just have a feeling that they're not going to be able to help themselves.
Jason Martin getting really deep and a little psychological
so
with us.
I am so confused.
My last question on the Game of Thrones, is it a problem for you? Because it's been a problem for me the way the complete heel turn for Daenerys. And like you said, I want to see Daenerys at the end, Targaryen, be one of the good ones, one of the ones with the white jacket on, the white coat. But it seems like she's taking a complete heel turn, you know, coming off the last season and going into this season. I'm not sure that I quite like it. What do you think about the heel turn to Daenerys going from the hero to, I mean, I don't even know if it's the anti-hero now. It's merely going to the villain.
Yeah, I've never been a fan of her character. I've always thought she was totally selfish and self-motivated and felt like she was ordained to be this and ordained to be that. And that, to me, that's going to be her downfall. She will find the Iron Throne and she will be knocked off it. I don't know whether or not it'll be Jon Snow or who it's going to be that's actually going to do it. But I agree with you. The best thing to me, I mean, I love Emilia Clarke and I love the performance. I really do. But the best thing about Daenerys Targaryen to me is that it gave me my fantasy football team name for multiple years, Demarius Targaryen.
Ooh.
As a Broncos fan, having Demarius Thomas on the team.
I like it.
So I was always very impressed with that. But I don't think you're wrong on this one in terms of Daenerys Targaryen, but she has never been. Look, I'm a Tyrion Lannister guy, and I like, you know, I'm not just a Tyrion Lannister guy. The most fascinating thing, I will say this, the most fascinating theory that I have seen, and there are betting odds to this effect, is that Peter Baelish is going to end up on the Iron Throne at the end of the series. If that happens, I will be blown beyond away. If it turns out that he planned all along and he always had a contingency to end up on the Iron Throne himself, and that when we saw him die, we actually didn't see him die.
Oh, man. Like,
that would absolutely leave me speechless.
That would kill me.
I don't know how they would pull it off, but it'd be incredible.
That would kill me.
Two short answers on your way out. One,
yes.
The Tennessee House passed the bill today. Now, it's going to go to the Senate in regards to legalized sports betting in the state of Tennessee.
Yep.
Do you think, in the end, that gets through? And then second, what position do the Titans draft with their pick on tomorrow night?
Meaning, do they – oh, what position? I thought you meant, like, are they going to stay at 19?
No.
Because I think that's at least something that you can look at as well. Answer your first question, yes, it's going to pass.
Sweet.
I think it will. I'm not a gambling guy.
Yeah.
I know a lot of gambling guys, and I work with a lot of gambling guys. I don't make the money to be a gambling guy, and even if I did, I just feel like that would not be my cup of tea.
Lock it in.
Yeah, exactly. But I just think that's where we're moving, man.
Yeah.
I think that regulating this stuff and making it available and doing this stuff in the middle of games, there's too much money out there potentially to be made. And there are too many jobs that could potentially exist as a result of this for it not to pass. I just feel like we've moved in that direction, so I'll go with that. In terms of tomorrow night, Todd McShay has come out and said he thinks they're going to take a corner at 19, which I have no clue where he's getting that from. Like, that would be mind-bogglingly stupid.
Jawan Williams?
You could go interior offensive line.
Yeah.
But I think you'll address that later. You can get a wide receiver a little bit later. I think you'll get a quarterback in one of the later rounds, potentially. The answer is pass rush, guys.
Good point.
Whether or not it's a linebacker, whether or not it's somebody on the edge, you've got to get an edge rusher, because the key in the NFL is to be able to get to the quarterback. The Colts beat you because you can't sack Andrew Luck. The Texans beat you because Deshaun Watson can escape Jarrell Casey because he's the only one getting back there. So I think that they're going to address that. Maybe somebody like Lawrence or Wilkins out of Clemson, somebody on the D-line there, maybe a speedy linebacker on the outside. But I think they're going to address the outside. I think it's going to probably be a defensive tackle, honestly. And it's got to be, if it's not a D-tackle, it's going to be a DE. I just can't see any reason, unless they trade back or decide to go up high to get somebody, which I don't expect. I just feel like John Robinson, this is a need that he has to address where there is talent at that spot. You don't want to get tunnel vision and draft somebody and make the wrong choice. But in this case, this is a huge issue for this team, and there do happen to be some talented guys around there, provided that they, you know, there's not a run on them 5 or 6 picks earlier. I believe it will probably be a defensive tackle or a defensive end, and it'll be somebody that specializes in pass rush that can get through these quarterbacks in the AFC South.
There you go. Jason Martin, tell everybody where they can follow you, your fantastic show. I hope you have a great time over the next couple of days of the draft. Man, I'm jealous of you. I know you'll get some great interviews, but I do appreciate you joining us.
Oh, certainly, man. You can follow me on Twitter at JMartZone. You can read me at 1045thezone.com/Big6Blog. Also, FoxSportsRadio.com. My show, the Jason Martin Show, is Sunday mornings 3 to 6 a.m. Eastern time, but it is podcasted because I know you're not awake listening to that live. If you were, you would be a trooper, and you would be better than me. Because since if I wasn't hosting it, I wouldn't be listening to it live. But you can add it to your podcast rotation as well. You guys are the best, Trey. Always fun to be with you.
Thanks, buddy. Have a great week. Really appreciate
you too.
It. Jason
you
Martin
too,
from 104.5 The Zone. Appreciate him joining us. Back on the other side, rolling along here. Chance Brandon, we're going to take you home. It's Optional, Fox Sports Knoxville.
Welcome back to It's Optional, right here on Fan Run Radio. 2 hours of the best midday sports talk in East Tennessee. Welcome you back. Good stuff from Jason Martin out in Nashville.
So
the Big Six. Great stuff. Outkick. You've heard him on the station before.
He's on here from 3 to 6
yeah,
every day.
On here from 3 to 6 in the a.m.
Well, you're not midday.
Well, I guess they technically are, but I mean, I said it for them out there. They needed to hear it too. They needed to hear it too. They're walking around here. They're puffing their chest out. We can puff our chest out. We do a damn good job too. It's about time we noticed it.
I think they're more mid-morning.
I like what you're saying.
And we're midday.
Y'all are like brunch.
Yep.
I do love brunch,
though. Everybody likes brunch, though.
You serve brunch till 1 o'clock
We all love brunch. It's cool. But really good stuff from J-Mart. I know Brandon was in and out because we got intern Matt in here. He's been running the boards. We got him and letting him do his own thing. So Brandon's been in and out of the studio. But he had some really good things. We talked about Game of Thrones there at the end. We'll cut that up, I'm sure, and try to get that out or something.
Pred's stinking it up.
The draft coming to town. What the Titans will want to do with their pick, who they're going after.
A lot of people don't know about that. Like you can't walk in to Tootsie's. You can't walk in old Red or whatever. You can't rock in a Red
Tin
Rock.
Roof.
You can't walk into any of those and just
Florida,
think you're going to get
line.
Served. Yeah, because they've all
Jack's
been bought
Barbecue.
Up by these teams. They've all been bought up by companies.
Yep.
They've been bought up by teams to host events during the draft.
Yep.
So the normal public can't just roll up in there and go get a beer and hang out. They're going to have to buy beer like on the street.
Not no more. It'd be a lot of people on the street. The one thing that people definitely need to be excited about, and I think we talked about it as the draft was approaching, is the draft parties over this weekend. My sister sent me like a list of like all these like sponsored draft parties. I mean, like by different vendors, Bud Light, Budweiser, whatever, like Miller Coors. Everybody's doing something.
I got invited to four, but
Jack
I'm not
Daniels,
driving to Nashville.
You know, James Simpson. There's all
the
kinds of
give
different
me
ones.
Your driver's license, and I'll take myself
no,
in there.
No, they sent me these in the mail, and it's like four different draft parties.
He says, share the wealth.
I don't know what the problem is.
Just don't
hey,
like
I've got
Nashville
this $400. I'm going to flush it down the toilet. Well, hey, I could use that. Nah, it wasn't sent to you.
It's got my name on it. I mean,
that's what I'm saying. Give me your driver's license. I'll lie. I'm a heck of a liar.
Well, I mean, I don't know. That wouldn't play out well. No, what happened?
What?
What happened to Robert Wallace at that party?
All right.
He's over there on
I'm
the
stairs. I'm calling
your
bluff.
Passed out.
Bring him in. Just bring him in so we can see him.
I'll bring him in tomorrow.
Okay. Is that your name, Robert?
Yeah, Robert Wallace.
Just revealed that.
Robert Wallace III.
Robert
you're not
Wallace.
Getting him.
I said, bring him in.
I'll bring him in.
I don't buy it.
Ooh.
Yeah, no, you get him. Look, when you register for these things.
Got a
oh,
controversy.
He doesn't buy it.
Ooh,
oh, okay. He doesn't,
boy.
He doesn't buy
oh,
it.
Oh, boy.
Then I swing
got,
the big one.
We got controversy. He says, show me.
He doesn't faze
show
me.
Show me the money.
He says, show me.
He he's going to end up trying to take
Show me, Jerry. Things. Show me, Jerry. This is Rob. You're Jerry. He said, show me.
That was on the other night, by the way.
It's a great movie.
Yeah, it was good. Speaking of Nashville, look, if you I was talking to somebody yesterday, a local reporter who is in town, just covers news and everything. Most parking garages that were like $20 to park in, $60.
No doubt.
Just for the day. Then you have to move your car.
Mm-hmm.
If you have to have your car out by a certain time that evening, and then you got to pay another $60 if you want to keep it in there for the night. Like, you got to go back.
Yeah, dude.
Hell no. Hell no. I ain't doing all that.
This is a big deal. This is the NFL draft.
It is a very big deal, and I'm excited for Nashville. I'm excited for the folks. Don't get agitated with long lines and the craziness and all the traffic. Just stay with it. It's a big economic.
Stay the course, huh?
Let me tell you something. If you don't want to be around it, okay, then don't take your ass anywhere near downtown Nashville.
A big move by the city planner.
Agreed.
What adult. Having the Nashville Marathon the same weekend?
Yeah.
What adult.
Well, you know what, though? You have to think about when they put the bid in for this.
The one thing that I
hate. What's easier to move? Hey, sorry, we're racing next week.
The one thing that I hate, and I understand.
A marathon?
It's Music City. No, I'm not a marathon.
There's a Nashville Marathon this weekend.
That was rude.
It's easier to move a marathon than it is a whole draft.
That's my point.
And I was going to say, I hate the stigma of like. Every commercial I've heard or like ad like on satellite radio this week for the draft coming to Nashville. Hey y'all, the draft's coming.
Oh, I know.
I understand. Yeah, years ago. Yeah, a lot of like of the
back in the 1930s.
Yeah, walking around cowboy. But Nashville's very diverse now. It's almost more hipster than it would be like country music star. Like it's a lot of hipsters, beards and. And, graphic tees and flannels and stuff.
Jason Aldean, country music star, where you wear boots, but you got the embroidered pants.
Yeah, something like that. So it's a lot more hipsterish. And so when people are like, every commercial, hey, y'all, the draft's coming, the Nashville this week. Ooh. And it's just like, just the embellishment.
Y'all come on back now, you hear?
Yeah, of like the redneck like characteristic that they're trying to throw out there of like people from Tennessee and Nashville, just so country. Just like any type of advertisement. Hey, y'all, that just drove me crazy.
You'll hear more alternative rock downtown than you might country.
Or just bro country, or just like, it's more of a hipster town now. This is not Conway Twitty's Nashville. This is not the old Ryman's Nashville.
I ran into one of the guys from Florida Georgia Line. I walk up to him. I said, "Why'd you do that to country music?"
I thought you were going to say you walk up to him, and smack him.
No,
that'd
I just
that
a
lot
him,
more funny.
So why'd you do that? To country a lot music? More.
It funny. Wasn't him. Brad Paisley started that.
No, Brad Paisley was not bro country.
He is.
No, he's Brad Paisley.
Wasn't all the sound effects and weird.
I would say Kenny Chesney started it more than. Than Brad Paisley.
Yeah, but Kenny Chesney
Kenny
was
Chesney's
a kind
local,
of a
though. How
free,
dare you?
Free spirit,
how dare you?
Island type of guy. It's not bro country.
Kenny Chesney's like the pot smoking country guy, and then like.
Jason Aldean's more bro
Keith
country.
Keith Urban's kind of a different kind of country.
He's more of the rocker country.
Right.
Right. But like stupid bro country.
Brad Paisley.
Back
is
of
up
a
there.
Pickup truck, just walking around in
Luke
mud.
Bryan.
In a
I like Luke Bryan, though.
Yeah, that's stupid Florida Georgia Line.
Roll my windows down. That's how it goes. Sing it if you're going to sing Florida Georgia Line.
No, I don't even want to.
But Brad Paisley, Brad Paisley's got some question marks.
A West Virginia country boy.
Allegedly.
No, didn't know Trey Wallace big Brad Paisley stan.
Well, no, the only reason I know is because he did College Game Day three times already with West Virginia when they were in Morgantown.
He did do that.
Because that's where he's from.
Because he has broad national appeal.
Paisley.
Because he's bro country.
No, you think he's all lying now because he's doing the nationwide commercials with Peyton.
Brad Paisley, don't make fun of Brad Paisley to Trey. Don't make
no,
fun
no,
of
no,
Chris
I'm
Gaines.
Saying, I'm saying, how the hell can you compare Florida Georgia Line's?
No, I'm saying where
music
it started
and whatever the hell that is.
Where it started.
To Brad Paisley.
Brad Paisley is the Russell Wilson to what is going to be Kyler Murray.
God, you don't listen to Brad Paisley, do you? You don't
know. No, I do. Listen to all the weird sound effects and nonsense in there. Okay. He's got a song about, what's it called, Crushing It?
Son? Brad Paisley?
Which is about just drinking beer, hanging out in my pickup.
Wait, you got to narrow that down. That's every damn country song.
That is kind of every country
song. But I'm saying Brad Paisley was one of the forefront. He was on the forefront of that, like early 2000s.
No, no. Mm. No.
Before Florida Georgia Line.
Oh, no.
Florida Georgia Line and who else? I mean,
Jason Aldean.
Jason Aldean's up there.
He went that way. He wasn't there. He wears
Cody Jinks and embroidered pants.
Is it Cody Jinks? I think that's his name.
I don't know.
He's up there.
Luke Bryan. Luke started off country, then he went spring break pro country.
Was it Honky Tonk Badunkadunk?
That wasn't him.
Is that not Luke Bryan?
No.
That's Trace. Yeah, Trace Atkins. He's bro country.
Trace Atkins?
Yeah.
No, Trace Atkins ain't bro
country. That song is?
That song is, yeah.
So he's my greatest.
It looks like a fish.
Yeah.
It smells like a fish.
Damn it. You know what? We just need Brooks and Dunn back and just end it all. They're already back. They're about to start touring again.
Big and Rich or Brooks and Dunn?
Brooks and Dunn. They've got one good song, and it's the freaking song that rolls College Game Day in every Saturday.
I didn't know how big.
That's it.
Yeah, well, I was just saying.
Well, your buddy Cowboy Troy is my boy.
Cowboy Troy is my boy.
Wait till this gets back to Cowboy Troy.
You asked me to compare Big and Rich or Brooks and Dunn. How do you even make
like
that
Brooks
comparison?
I like Brooks and Dunn better.
Country music.
Oh,
straight up.
Waylon Jennings is country music.
Yeah, okay. Well, hell, you can put all that. But I'm
David
saying,
Allen Coe.
You just compared
Loretta Lynn.
John Rich Kenan and
Rogers.
Brooks and Dunn.
Well, the reason I brought them up was because they are the College Game Day.
George Strait.
Good Lord. Big and Rich, Brooks and Dunn shouldn't be in the same even sentence.
I agree with you. I don't know how Cowboy Troy is going to feel about this.
That's what I'm saying.
Cowboy Troy's.
We don't want this to get back to our guy. He's a friend of the show.
He's not in Big and Rich. He's a part of their brand, that tequila brand.
That's true. But also, I've seen him in a lot of their videos.
Well, yeah, he's been in a lot of videos. Yeah,
he is Big and Rich, if you ask me. If they don't have Cowboy Troy,
I'm sure
they're just big. They're not rich.
He would say the same thing. If you try to compare Big and Rich, Cowboy Troy, he would say Brooks and Dunn. I mean, Brooks and Dunn and Big and Rich.
Oh, yeah.
Damn y'all. Yeah, making that comparison.
Chris Gaines or Brooks and Dunn?
Ooh.
Brooks and Dunn. Ain't that the week? Chris Gaines had two songs.
Good choice.
Garth had two damn songs.
Good choice. Good choice.
Garth performed in the Swamp.
Recently?
This past weekend.
Wow. 80,000. I liked
Florida.
Him more before you said that.
Of course.
Well, he's coming here.
You gotta advertise to those. Jean Short,
is he coming to Knoxville?
Down there in Gainesville.
You going to be there?
Yeah, he'll be coming to Neyland.
You going?
They're trying to get that finalized right now.
Little Garth Brooks to Neyland? That'd probably be pretty
good.
He's
doing
show.
The college stadium tour type thing.
Oh.
And now he's going
to. I'd probably like to see that.
He's going to the Broncos stadium. Like, he's going to some places that don't have a college stadium in the town.
I saw Kenny Chesney at Titan Stadium, and that was cool, like years ago, like 2006. I know he's been there.
The
like
setup
a
for Garth,
times.
And I saw all the pictures and videos. Man, it's an awesome setup.
Is this his seventh or eighth farewell tour?
Not a farewell tour.
I swear he's like retired a couple times.
No, he retired once. He retired once
he came
to
back
go
as
raise
Chris
his
Gaines.
No, that was for a movie. He retired once to go raise his kids. He came back 8 years later.
Trisha Yearwood, right?
He was doing some performances in between, but once his last kid went off to college, he's like, all right, time to go back touring. So he went back touring, and he's been doing it nonstop ever since. You know, I got kicked out of right in front. My grandmother took us one time. She was like, hey, we're going to go see a country singer's house. And I was like, okay. This is me and my cousin. We were little, probably like 10, 11 years old. We roll up to the front gate, and there's a police officer outside. I'm like, where are we at? My grandma's like, this is Garth Brooks' house. The cop rolls up to the window. And I remember this vividly. Yes, ma'am, can I help you? Yeah, I just want to take my two grandkids to see Garth Brooks. And the cop's like, yeah, that's not happening. You need to turn around, ma'am. So she was like, no, we want to go see him. And ended up, after a couple minutes of back and forth.
What did your grandmother think?
That's normal?
She was trying to be the cool grandmother.
No, that's a nice sentiment.
And rolling up to Garth Brooks. I think she just wanted to show us, in a way. Because it was in Nashville. Mm. But Garth always holds a special place in my heart.
Well, weird.
It's not weird. It's a grandmother being cool. Let's take a break. Come back on the other side. Potentially they'll have some news of the day to roll you on. God bless you, Sacagawea. You go out to big. Go to break. Unbelievable. Well, we're coming to your city. We're gonna play our-
Welcome back to It's Optional. Last call. Last call of the program. 865-546-8200. Just an astounding debate going on in the Fan Run Studios. Really dived into this bro country, Brad Paisley versus Big and Rich. Now there's another conversation going out there about Garth Brooks was really the start of the bro country. Really riveting sports talk today, people. Really riveting sports talk. Hey, we're going to have some of these days, though. We're going to make them fun. I'm going to do some ranking. I don't know. There's another sound out there coming from out there. I don't know what those guys are doing out there. But we're going to have a lot of fun. There's going to be some slow days like this. I heard yesterday, though, when I was out, had to take care of some personal stuff. Had some repairs to handle at the house. You guys had a lot of talk about NASCAR, Brandon.
Yeah, NASCAR.
A lot of talk.
NASCAR ad nauseum.
You guys maybe talked NASCAR. I listened in briefly. It was a good 2 segments. Normally, you get traded in and out on the NASCAR 1 segment. You had Bromberg on, and those guys were talking about sponsorships and ad revenue and teams and everything. And I listened. I was like, oh, Bromberg zone. Okay, normal stuff. And then it went on another segment.
Dude, we had Bromberg on for 30 minutes straight.
Deep dive with Nick Bromberg.
I lasted about 5 minutes of knowing what was being talked about.
And then
about,
you was just...
And then it was... I was out of my own.
All mumbo jumbo.
No, but let me clarify, too. I was not suggesting Big and Rich is better than Brooks and Dunn.
We need to get that out there.
I was using them as the line of demarcation. Like, where do you put... I was questioning what he would respond.
Matt, you've been very quiet over there. Intern Matt, well, we haven't really went to you a bunch today. How you doing today? And what are your thoughts on the bro country talk? Also, Game of Thrones. I don't feel like we've talked much about Game of Thrones. We had a quick conversation on Monday that was like 2 minutes. We talked about some of that. I talked about to Jason Martin. I don't really like where Daenerys has taken the heel turn. I'm a big Daenerys fan. I know a lot of people are not a big fan of hers, but I'm a big fan of hers. I don't like that. Secondly, why are we putting everybody in the crypts when the Night King can control the dead?
I don't know. I'm not a huge fan of Daenerys right now.
We got another Daenerys hater.
If I was Jon Snow, I think it would have been smarter to keep that information to himself till after the battle.
Well, you think she's going to try to take him out?
I'd say there's a good chance of it.
Nah, I think that if anything, she gets taken out by the Night King or something. I think that at the end, it's going to be like, you know, John is going to one of those things where he's not going to care to have the Iron Throne, and he's just going to simply, you know, just want to be with Daenerys. And then they're going to be, you know, it's going to be that moment they're having. This is going to get killed by the Night King.
See, I'm actually got a hot take on how this is all going to end.
No, please, go ahead with your hot take, sir. So that's what the mic is for.
I think the humans will come on top, but I think the Iron Bank's going to come back because the Lannisters won't be able to pay it back.
Huh. Interesting.
Do they have an army left, though?
Yeah. Do they?
Well, they've got the gold company now.
Well, okay. You think the gold company's going to turn on them?
I do.
Okay. I could see that. Also.
Interesting.
Because, what's his name? Daenerys, like, Jorah.
Jorah Mormont.
He was part of the gold company, so I've seen a lot of people say that once they get down to King's Landing, the gold company will, like, join them because they've always kind of fought for Targaryens.
I dig it.
But to answer your question about the crypts thing, I think they planned on that being a surprise.
Mm-hmm.
So the characters aren't supposed to know.
The characters aren't
like,
supposed to
know. They're they know that he can control the dead, but I'm assuming they're like, oh, well, that's like the basement. Yeah, good to go.
I understand. Okay, yeah. They don't really know that, especially. But John and everybody knows that he controls the dead. Now, I guess that one way you can think about it is, well, he's controlling the dead. You know, he's walking up and collecting those dead or whatnot. And so I guess he hasn't gotten to Winterfell yet. But it just seems like that's setting them up for danger. I think a lot of, like, Missandei. Is it Missandei?
Melisandre?
No, the one who is with the Unsullied. I always get their names mixed up. But the one who's with that guy, and they're talking about being in love, and eventually once his fight is done with, you know, Daenerys, he has served his time, and they're going to go off into the sunset and live happily ever after. I don't think that happens because how can that happen? That seems like another character arc. Like when you were talking to when you were talking about the character arc of Brienne of Tarth, I think that's the same thing with that one. Now they've said, like, hey, they're in love and yada, 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 and now it's going to be that we see them die. So a lot of sad stuff. The Behemoth battle is coming.
So excited.
Be this Sunday. We'll continue to talk about that as the week goes along. We have a lot of expectations for that. We also have a lot of fears. I know I do. I mean, the show's ending, and this we're going to see a lot of our favorite characters. We're going to see a lot of them die. There's a guarantee that there's going to be somebody that dies this weekend that we like.
Oh, yeah.
Or not even saying that each of one of us likes, but that the general public likes. There has to be. There's no way that they go through this fight, this battle, and you don't lose an important character. Like, there's no way. I don't see how it's going to be Davos.
Maybe it's not at least two figureheads are going down.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be one pretty prominent one that everybody's fallen in love with, and then another one probably that, at the same time, it's going to be one that just – you kind of like a Podrick or something like that. Like I feel like a Podrick or a Davos would be in that realm too. So we'll see, but we'll continue to keep you locked with our Game of Thrones talk. We'll do another Thrones. Not really. I don't like to do predictions. We said it last week, not too many predictions going in, because I don't want to just throw everything out there that I believe, because probably a lot of that stuff is not going to happen. We'll discuss and analyze it, but we'll talk a little bit about it Friday afternoon before we dive into the weekend. Before we dive into the end of this, get ready for the drive, guys. They're out at Old Ben Franklin Motors. Time for us to take a little time out for news of the day.
I won't put you on the spot to find that.
Oh.
But anyway, start up for the
I thought
top.
He knew it. I was waiting for it.
What is national today?
Please tell us.
It is National Administrative Professionals Day. As well as National Pigs in a Blanket Day.
Oh.
Big Pigs in a Blanket guy.
I like Pigs in a Blanket a lot.
Also, moving on, we got a little bit of news. I was a little late getting to it, but we'll work through it. Excuse me. The Jeopardy champ, James Holzhauser, eclipses the $1 million mark in his 14-game winning streak. Becomes the fastest person to ever get to $1 million.
That's pretty badass.
Way faster than the Ken Jennings. Was that his name? Yeah. So, yeah, big-time news for him. He won with $118,000 during yesterday's show. And it's hilarious because he has actually averaged over these past 14 shows making more than Alex Trebek.
Huh.
Yeah.
Interesting enough.
Good news for him. Also, heavy rainfall in Dallas has had caused cars to be flooded in the airport parking garage, and it's like over the top of your car. So, yeah, crazy
Dallas,
weather.
Texas
having.
Again with the flooding of waters. Remember they had the big floods in Houston a couple years.
That's
ago?
That's what I'm saying. Like we got some weird.
Watch out, Texans.
Some funky weather coming on. All right, this day in history, the Easter Rebellion began on this day, 1916, in Dublin.
Hmm.
That was when the IRA.
The IRA. I saw where they just recently claimed,
they're not,
a tax recently on something. They're still out there.
They're not the best people.
Not only in Sons of Anarchy that Trey likes, but IRA is still actually out there doing a lot of havoc.
All right. And go quick, too. Library of Congress was established this day, 1800. This day, 1980, the Iran hostage rescue mission ended in disaster as 8 U.S. servicemen ended up dead, and no hostages were rescued.
Mm.
Sad day.
Very, very
1953,
sad.
Winston Churchill was knighted for his service to the country during World War II. And we'll see. Is there anything else? I think
that's all we got for the day.
Jane Fonda's first workout video was released on this day,
1982. Buns of Steel, Jane Fonda. The workout tape was a Jazzercise. Well, been a great show today. Like to thank head coach of the Diamond Vols, Tony Vitello, for stopping in. Also, thank you to Jason Martin of the Big Six an outkick. There we go. Intern Matt learning the ropes. He's learning the ropes. We'll learn you, sir. We'll learn you. Again, shout out to head coach Tony Vitello. Thanks for him joining the show. We've got that up at Fox Sports Knoxville on Twitter. Also at sportsradioknoxville.com. We'll have hour two up as we get done right now. Drive guys out of Old Ben Franklin. Stop by and see them. They'll have some Jets pizza out there. Thank you to Matt behind the board, Brandon, and Trey. I'm Chance Collins. We'll catch you tomorrow. This is It's Optional on Fan Run Radio.